Had a little series, two-week series. This is the second message, The Heart of the Savior Beats Again. And if you were here with us last week, we're going to do a little, you'll see some of the things you saw last week, but we're building the case and we're going to move as swiftly as we can. So let's look at it. And by the way, if you are here visiting today, we use a big screen. Scriptures will be right in front of you and you can see it. If you have a Bible, feel free to just jump in there and follow along with us. And we'll do our best today. Amen? Jesus was crucified in the morning about 9 a.m. Okay, we discussed a little bit of this last week. He suffered a slow and agonizing death. Crucifixion was not like, bang, you're dead. Crucifixion was meant to make that one a spectacle and him suffer. And whatever crime they put above your head, folks come by and look and go, I don't want to do that crime. See what he's doing up there all day long dying for that. You see what I'm saying? Say. Slow, agonizing death. I want you to see what happened at noon. So crucified in the morning, now it's noontime, lights out. Last week in the service, we turned out the lights. Lights went out. And that's what happened when Jesus was crucified on the cross, according to the Bible. Now from the sixth hour, that's noon, Jewish time, there was darkness over all the land until what hour? The ninth hour. So there was 3 hours of darkness. Most people don't even comprehend that. We just read the Bible. We don't even realize how this all happened, how long it was, what was going on. This is pretty crazy. The darkness occurred at the very brightest time of day, and it lasted until 3 p.m. And there might be some of you here today say, Clark, you believe that Bible too much, man. How you know all that happened? Well, Bible says so. I do believe the Bible. You know why I believe the Bible? Because I haven't found that the Bible's not trustworthy. You listening? Say. Longer I live, the more I'm understanding. Look, that is true. Look at that. It's something how we usurp authority over the Bible and we got a little old puny head. I don't want to do that. Amen? But let me just tell you another reason why I can believe the Bible. For example, darkness. There is a thing called history. Can you say that with me? History. Let's do it one more time. History. All right, and let's look at what was discovered from the archives of one Pontius Pilate. You ever heard of this guy say? Who wrote to Tiberius Caesar about his events in Jerusalem? Let's look and see what he found, what was discovered in some of his writings to Tiberius. Here's his chronicles. And him, Herod, and Archelaus, and Philip, Annas, and Caiaphas, with all the people delivered to me, Pilate speaking, making a great uproar against me that I should try him, Christ. I therefore ordered him to be crucified, having first scourged him and having found against him no cause of evil accusations or deeds. And at that time he was crucified, say it with me, there was what? Darkness? Well, Shazam! Over all the world, the sun being darkened at midday. Is that what the Bible said, yes or no? Yes. And the stars appearing, but in them there appeared no luster. And the moon, as if it turned into what? Blood, failed in her light. So this is what happened when Jesus Christ was crucified. Darkness, lights out. And this is what Pilate wrote. Darkness is a fitting picture of the human soul apart from God. That's us. I mean, man, we pat ourselves on the back sometimes how good we are. You grew up in the greatest country on the face of the earth. You've had the Bible. You've had a culture around you that has been a great culture. Oh, it's not perfect. We got problems. But man, we could stick you or me somewhere else, raised another way, and we'd be little demons. You listening? Say. Don't take too much credit on how good you are. We are sinners. Y'all agree with that? Amen? Say. How many ever done something you couldn't believe you did it? Get a pajama. Come on. Yeah, can't believe I did it. You did it, fool. You know what I mean? We do stuff like that, don't we? Mama, I didn't mean to do it. You did it. Anyway, sorry. Darkness. The Bible says the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Jesus said, this is the condemnation. Light, me, he said, has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were what? Evil. So darkness is a fitting picture, isn't it? Darkness, lights out, Jesus on the cross, dark from noon till 3. Now keep looking. Listen to Jesus around 3 in the afternoon, what he said. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Would you say that last part with me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's what he said around three. I said this last week and I'm saying again, was this the exact time that our sin was placed on Jesus during this darkness when he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? I believe so. I believe this was a time that he took our sins. Based on his last two sayings on the cross, I believe this is when our sin was laid on him. I tell you that because there's a lot of speculation about when he was in the tomb. Did he go down there and fight with the devil? And that's when he took your sins on him, all that kind of stuff. Listen, we have a victorious Savior. And when he died on the cross, he took our sins on him. I believe that with all my heart. And he cried, it is finished. Now some of them that stood there, when they heard him say this, they cried out, he's calling for Elias. And straightway one of them ran, and he took a sponge, they filled it with vinegar, they put it on a reed, they gave it him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come and save him. Listen to Jesus' last words before his last breath. He's hanging on the cross. His last words before his last breath. Matthew 27:50. Matthew puts it this way. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. He gave up his last breath. His heart stopped beating. John and Luke give us a little more information. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, say it with me, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And then Luke gives a little other information about what was happening. Luke 23:46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, say it with me, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having thus said, he gave up the ghost. I believe when you carefully study the Bible, I believe his last sayings were, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then I believe he said, it is finished. He did the work that God gave him to do. I believe he said that, and then I believe he said this as his last statement. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. I believe those were the last words of our Savior on the cross. Now, I just want you to look at something. Just pay attention here. Hang in here with me. We're doing actually pretty good with all the singing. We're still doing all right. When Jesus was bearing our sins, it was my God. Can you say that with me? When Jesus was bearing our sins, it was my God. Say it with me one more time. I want you to feel it. When he was bearing our sins, it was my God. And after he bore our sins, say it with me, it was Father. Did you feel that? Yes or no? I feel it. When he bore our sins, and after it was finished, it was, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up his life. Jesus breathed his last breath with confidence. Confidence. Because he knew he could trust his Father. Did you hear me? He knew he could trust his Father. So he could commend his spirit, and he could breathe his last breath. And he could actually himself cause his own heart to stop beating. Nobody took his life from him. Jesus gave his life up because he knew he had a Father he could trust. He knew that in 3 days his Father would raise him up again. He knew it. Had confidence. Do you have that kind of confidence in God? I know that's tough to have. But I see that. That's one wonderful thing that I've learned this season studying the Scripture this time is that Jesus taught me on the cross how I could trust my God, my Father. You know, had a brother this morning tell me that his brother today passed away. Today. Died today. At stage 4 cancer. You know? But I know this brother. And he loves the Lord. And he knows there's hope. Amen? There's hope after this life. This isn't the last life there is, my friend. There's life after this life with Jesus Christ. If you know him. Do you have that kind of confidence? Jesus knew he was going to rise from the dead. Matter of fact, he said it when he was here on the planet many times. He told us this is going to happen. Told the disciples, look at it, John 10:17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I what? I lay down my life that I might take it again. Would you say 18 with me? No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. He said, I have power to lay it down. I've got power to take it again. And look at that last part. This commandment have I received of my Father. Are y'all getting anything? Listen, he could give up his spirit because his Father had said, you're going to rise again. He believed God. Do you believe God? Say, you believe what we do here today at church? Oh, it's just a bunch of ritualistic mess. Is that what you believe? Or do you believe what we do and who we sing about is real? Do you believe there's a place called heaven? And are you going? Do you believe that or not? Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. He believed that. Jesus, when he's on the planet, he said, look, you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. They thought he was talking about the temple. Remember? They mocked him when he was on the cross for saying that. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. He prophesied his death, that he would be crucified before it ever happened. I could go on all day about this. Luke 9:22, he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things. He must be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be what? Slain. And be raised when? Third day. So he could say, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He could have confidence. Now let's move the story forward. Now we're staying in Matthew chapter 27 and Matthew 28. You can find the resurrection all through your Bible, all through your New Testament. Y'all listening? You can even find hints of it in the Old Testament that it was going to happen. But the point is, we can't take all day, so we're going to stay in Matthew. Let's keep moving the story along now. So look at what happened next. Look at what happened next. So Jesus gave up his last breath. His heart stopped beating. The heart of the Savior stopped beating. And look at what happened. This is crazy. Now we talk about the resurrection, and man, that's what it's all about. But there was some other good stuff that happened. I want you to see it. Look at this. Verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent, was tore in two, from the top to the bottom. And the earth quaked, and rocks split open, and the graves opened up. That'd be a little spooky, wouldn't it say? And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. And this is very important. And came out of the graves when? Say it with me. After his resurrection. And went into the holy city and appeared to many people. That's what the Bible says. I know you think, Clark, that's just crazy stuff. Hey, let me tell you something. When the Son of the living God dies on a cross, and 3 days later resurrection power comes, don't be surprised if you're close by that you get something on you. You're hearing some life or something gets on you. You know what I mean? And that's what happened. That's what the Bible teaches. I believe it, man. I do, with all my heart. Keep looking. I want you to see the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. How big was this veil? We'll say it again in a minute. The veil was about 60 feet wide, okay? About like the stage, a little longer. It was 19 feet high. That's similar, isn't it? Right? It was as thick, not as that little curtain. It was as thick as a man's hand. Y'all understand? I scared him. Anyway. That's scary stuff. You know what I mean? So it was as thick as a man's hand. Thick. Man, I couldn't hardly rip this shirt, but it's my new shirt. I ain't going to rip it. But anyway, you know what I mean? You couldn't do that. But look what happened. The veil, when Jesus died on the cross, he gave up his last breath. The earthquake, rocks split open. Stones that were in front of graves were moved about. And the veil of the temple, watch it. Rip right down the middle. It's crazy. Let's see what that meant. Come on. The veil in the temple was a barrier. It stood between the holy place and the holy of holies back here. This was Passover. And the priest would have actually been ministering in the holy place at the very time of Jesus' death. This was a high holy day. They're inside, man. This is going on. And once a year, they would offer sacrifices out here, but once a year, a priest would take a lamb without spot and blemish. He would go into the Holy of Holies and offer that once a year for his sins and the sins of the people. So this is happening, and this huge curtain, this veil, ripped completely in half, totally revealing the what? The Holy of Holies. Wow! What I'm saying is this thing Jesus did on the cross is pretty amazing. Amen? So that's going on out here, and inside the temple, you got this barrier that had been put up where man couldn't get to God, and because Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent in two, and man now could get to who? God, because of who? Jesus. You getting it? This is what the Bible says, clear and plain. And by the way, you might wonder, Clark, there you go again, believing the Bible. Well, I also believe history a little bit. Some history screwed up, though. You've got to watch it. But anyway, but look at this. By the way, secular historians of the day like Tacitus and Josephus, and even this, the Jewish Talmud refers to the veil of the temple renting in two. What I'm saying is when you reject Jesus and you reject the cross and you reject this crazy preacher and what he's trying to tell you today, you got some things you got to reject, my friend. This really happened. Jesus did really come to this earth. He did really die on a cross. He did really raise from the dead. This temple did really rent in two. Okay? And now the way's been made for us. I want to read Hebrews 9, 6 through 14. Not going to preach it. Just read it with me. Just let me read it. You just see if some of this won't sink in. Now when these things were ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle according to the service of God. But into the second part went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors or sins of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was still standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. They had to keep doing this all the time. They couldn't get their sins forgiven. They had to keep constantly doing all this mess, okay? Which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of the Reformation. Jesus Christ. But Christ. Say but Christ with me. But Christ. Being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, the temple, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his what? Own blood. He entered in what? Once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us by what he did on that cross. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen? I know that's a little heavy water and it's deep. But did you get it? The temple, curtain, veil, rent in two at the exact time that Jesus had given his life on the cross. There's no other way to God except through Jesus. Amen? And that's what is being said. Let's keep moving the story forward. So what else happened? The earth shook and rocks were broken. Tombs were opened. Okay? Many who were dead had life come back into their bodies. And after Jesus had risen, they appeared to many people. Now that would be weird, wouldn't it? Say. I'm saying many signs, things happened like that during the crucifixion of Christ and his resurrection. I want you to listen to what somebody who was there, we're just reading the Bible. Listen to what the Roman centurion and others, the Bible says, had to say. They were there. Now when the centurion, the Roman soldier, and others that were with him, watching Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly. How many be just like them? Say. I'd be scared just in the dark, okay? And here's what he said, and others said it with him. Say it with me. Truly, this was the Son of God. Amen? What a great scripture. Now, when the evening was come, I need you to hang in here with me. When the evening was come, after his death on the cross, there came a rich man of Arimathea, and his name was Joseph of Arimathea. He also himself was a disciple of Jesus. This rich man had been a follower of Jesus Christ, and he's there. He went to Pilate. He begged for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body be delivered to this Joseph of Arimathea. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped the body of Jesus in a clean linen cloth. Y'all following the story? He laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a stone to the door of the sepulcher, and he departed. Look at what happened. Say it with me. Jesus was... Say it again. Jesus was dead. His heart stopped beating for 3 days. And my voice is about shot, but instead of preaching it, I'm going to sing it to you. Probably crazy for doing this. Amen. Not a word was heard at the tomb that day. Just shuffling soldiers' feet as they guarded the grave. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days had passed. Could it be that Jesus had breathed his last? Could it be that his Father had forsaken him, turned his back on his Son, despising our sin? All hell seemed to whisper, just forget him, he's dead. Then the Father looked down to his Son and said, arise, my love. Arise, my love. The grave no longer has a hold on you. No more death sting, no more suffering. Arise, arise, my love. Earth trembled and the tomb began to shake. And like lightning from heaven, the stone was rolled away. And as dead men, the guards, they all stood there in fright as the power of love displayed its might. And suddenly, a melody filled the air. Like wings of wind, it was everywhere. The sound all creation had been longing to hear. The sweet sound of victory, so loud and clear. Arise, my love, arise, my love. The grave no longer has a hold on you. No more death sting, no more suffering. Sin, where are your shackles? Death, where is your sting? The grave could not hold him. The grave could not hold the King. Arise, my love. Arise, my love. The grave no longer has a hold on you. No more death sting, no more suffering. Arise, arise, arise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now I'm going to have you stay standing with me. Go ahead and stand up with me. I'm about to die. Amen. Sometimes you can sing things a little more effective than you can preach them sometimes. You know? And feel it. He's alive. The Bible says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Can you say that with me? Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Now, don't you just watch. Just hang in here with me. My question to you today is this. Will you say, when you die, and you stand before God, because everybody will, every knee's going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Whether you like Him or not, your tongue is going to do that. Okay? So my question to you is this. Will you say, when that happens, my God! My God! Or will you say, Father, He took your place so you could say, Father. He took your place so you wouldn't have to scream. He took your place so you could call God Father. Now here's the deal. Here's the deal. Jesus knew His heart would beat again. Do you know that? Do you know that? You can know that. You can know that when it comes your time to die, you can know this is not the end. Will you be able to take your head and do it like that? In peace? It's a good question. Here's what the Bible says real clear, so you don't miss it. How can I do that, preacher? If you will confess with your mouth now, 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 in this life, the Lord Jesus, and if you will believe in your heart, your will, that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Is that what that verse says, yes or no? That's the bottom line. You will confess Him. It's going to happen. But you'd be so much wiser and smarter to call Him Father now. Amen? To do it now and not later. If you'll do that, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. My question is, Jesus finished His, didn't He say? Didn't He? My question to you is, have you finished it? Have you finished it? Have you done the deal? You can talk about it all day long. I went to this church, I went to that church, I sung in this choir, I did that. Big hairy deal, who cares? Have you finished it? Say. Have you signed by the cross? You always got the little X thing. Well, we got the cross there for you. See it? Have you signed by the cross? Have you signed, that's me, count me in. I believe in Jesus. Put my name right there. Have you done that? Have you said, I confess with my mouth, I believe in my heart, my name? Does the Bible talk about a book with people's names in heaven in it? Yes or no? It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name in that book? How do I get it there? Let's review. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And you shall be what? Close the deal. How long are you going to wait? How long are you going to get into another environment like this where it's comfortable? We've had a good time. Nobody's pressured you about you got to wear this or act this way or nothing like that. You have every opportunity today to be saved. No excuses. You can do it today. Amen? Yes. By believing. And you got people all around you that are for you, not against you. Amen? So let's do that. How do I do it? I confess with my mouth. I pray. I tell Him. I believe in You, Lord. I mean it from my heart. I'm not playing games this time. I'm serious. Are you ready to do that?